from World Radio and a creative team that brings you the world and everything in it, this is Effective Compassion.
Here's the thing about nonprofits. They don't make a profit. But what they lack in resources, they make up in heart. Passionate founder, compelling vision, dedicated volunteers, devoted donors, and a budget so skimpy hardly anyone ever gets paid. That's usually the model I envision when I hear nonprofit. Am I wrong? I'm Anna Johansson Brown.
I'm Sarah Schweinsberg. And this is Effective Compassion.
At that time, the organization was pretty close to going broke. It was a PR nightmare.
That's Edward Bailey, executive director of a nonprofit.
Not a lot of people knew about us, and we had not a great reputation with a lot of people. I mean, the core of the program was really good.
Bailey runs No Longer Bound. It's a residential drug rehabilitation program in Georgia.
And this is Dudley Parr, also director of a nonprofit.
The place looks like a bomb went off because we have space issues, as you can see. I mean, this
Parr runs the Overflow Cafe, a ministry to the homeless. He's in Maryland. Edward Bailey is in Georgia. Geographically, they're not that far apart, 700 miles, give or take. But when it comes to the philosophy of their ministry structures, they're on opposite sides of the globe.
Turns out there's more than one way to brew your coffee, and there's more than one way to run a Christian nonprofit. Today, we're talking about the blueprints of a ministry, the structural engineering side of things.
You may or may not be in charge of a nonprofit, but chances are you've donated to one. And before doing that, you probably did a little research. You might have checked out its vision statement and its reputation to make sure it's not going to use your money to fund a private yacht for the CEO or something. You might have drawn some conclusions about the ministry's effectiveness. That probably influenced your decision to donate.
But if you're like me, you probably haven't wondered how the ministry is structured, what its operating philosophy is, if it has a good organizational chart, or what its business model says about its priorities. And then there's this question. Does a ministry's structure determine its fruit? That's what we're going to talk about today.
But if you think we're going to talk about organizational structure and spreadsheets the whole time, you'd be wrong.
Mostly.
We might use the term org chart once or twice.
But business jargon aside, it turns out nonprofit organizational structure has kaleidoscopic philosophies you never knew existed.
Mm-hmm.
And even some ideas for people like me who've never run a nonprofit in their life.
Effective Compassion is made possible by listeners like you. Additional support comes from Samaritan Ministries, a biblical solution to healthcare, connecting you to other Christians who will care for you spiritually and financially when you experience a medical need. More at SamaritanMinistries.org/worldpodcast.
Before I went to seminary, I was salaried almost all my life. So I know how much I'm going to make. I know what my expenses are. I make more than my expenses. I'm good.
You have to stay on your toes around Dudley Parr. He has these intense blue eyes and a sharp wit, and he'll call you out if you make a bad life choice. But he loves God, and he loves people, and he's totally invested in ministry.
The Overflow Cafe sits on the corner of a wide intersection in Cambridge, Maryland. On one side, the nice part of town. On the other, the really, really rough part of town. The Overflow Cafe attracts all kinds of people. Addicts, dealers, homeless, jobless. Dudley Parr becomes friends with them, gives them work, and tells them about the Savior.
We'll talk more about the Overflow Cafe in a minute. But for now, let's focus on Parr's philosophy of finance.
Since 2008, I haven't had a regular paycheck.
Donors fund the cafe and Parr's salary. Some give regularly, others send one-time gifts, and a couple of foundations give about $1,800 a month.
I think I just did taxes. I did about $22,000. Now, we are allowed to live in a house for free. That's nice. I'm at an age where I have some retirement that I can start taking. Both of those cars out there, we were given. I haven't had to buy a car in 6 years.
In other words, Dudley Parr and his wife, Anna, live on the edge. But Parr says that's right where he needs to be, because that's where he can trust God the most.
You know, getting off of the having a regular paycheck and trusting that God is going to take care of us. And he has. I mean, my account has been down to under 40 bucks on a number of occasions just in the last 6 years. But I've never not been able to pay a bill.
For Parr, the point is not financial stability. Instead, his question is, who am I going to rely on?
Being salaried and knowing what I make, that's me relying on myself. Not having funds, but knowing that I am loved and taken care of. That's just amazing. The God of the universe cares enough about me and my family to provide for us. That's overwhelming.
This is the mentality behind a lot of Christian nonprofits. We don't have a lot, but God takes care of us.
Yeah, I'd like to have had a nice income and been more comfortable, but I wouldn't have the faith I have now.
That's philosophy number one. Okay, now let's head to Georgia and No Longer Bound.
But the finances weren't good. The pay levels weren't good. You couldn't.
Edward Bailey took over from the previous director, the organization's founder, in 2014.
But then a lot of the execution of the organization was really sloppy. It happens a lot of time with founders. I mean, they're incredible at starting stuff. Like, I couldn't do it. I could not do it. And he did it, but then it kind of grew to a point to where it needed to be structured like a business in it. That just wasn't there.
So, structured like a business. That's the key.
And then also I learned and fell in love with this marriage between the business side and the ministry side, like the combination of like heart of a ministry, brain of a business.
Heart of a ministry, brain of a business. He says it over and over again.
To have the heart of a ministry and the brain of a business. And so
they do and how they operate with the heart of a ministry and brain of a business.
Like heart of a ministry, brain of a business, and how those two things don't have to be separate and can work together, and how they improve each other when they do work together.
When Bailey took over, he says No Longer Bound had a good heart. It just didn't have a good structure. And because it didn't have a good structure, it didn't have longevity. It wouldn't survive the next decade. So Bailey shook things up.
One of the first things he did? Stabilize the finances. No Longer Bound provides work opportunities for the men who live there. As they go through rehab, they work in different industries on the property. The wood shop, the auto shop, the kitchen. In the early days, No Longer Bound also had greenhouses crammed with flowers.
So that was our first business. It was beautiful, so beautiful. And it was like, we were known, people were like, No Longer Bound's the place where you go get your flowers. Like, we were like known for that. But once I learned how to read financials, like I had done in that small business, I understood that this business does not make any money. And so we shut that down, which was like such a sacred cow here. Like, it was a big deal.
Everybody's Bailey like, oh, views financial stability as crucial. Because if your ministry can't survive, it won't be able to help people. It won't matter how good your vision is.
He also took aim at the idea that nonprofits have to be crewed by overworked and underpaid employees, or volunteers wearing a dozen different hats. Bailey wanted to hire qualified people at competitive salaries.
If you really want to achieve our vision, then we had to have really talented people here. If you want to have really talented people here, it can't just be all heart. Like, you've got to have good comp levels and benefits and like all that stuff.
Bailey's strategy seems to have worked. Remember how Dudley Parr made about $22,000 last year? Edward Bailey made $142,000.
Today, No Longer Bound is streamlined and about as stable as a nonprofit can be. The Overflow Cafe is a little eclectic and sometimes flies by the seat of its pants.
They're both donor-funded. They would both say they're absolutely reliant on God supplying their needs. And they would both say they want to be wise with how they use money. They're both getting results as they work to bring healing to their communities. But they're both coming from very different starting points. And how can you argue with either of them? I'll be honest, when I first visited No Longer Bound and heard Edward Bailey emphasize the business side of things so much, I wasn't sure what to think. It all sounded great, but I was so used to hearing perspectives like Dudley Parr's. It was almost as if nonprofits were supposed to be hard up for cash all the time. Like, that's how you knew if a ministry was legitimate. It seemed fundamentally wrong, somehow, for a ministry to be paying their employees a competitive salary. Both No Longer Bound and the Overflow Cafe were in the running for the Hope Awards this year, so I wanted to follow up on this question. So I got in touch with an expert on helping people.
living the tension of business and ministry is a significant part of this kind of work. And different people fall on different ends of the continuum.
Brian Fickert is a professor of economics and community development at Covenant College. He started the Chalmers Center for Economic Development, and he co-authored the book When Helping Hurts.
The truth of the matter is that nonprofit ministries actually have no incentives to actually do the right things.
He says that's fundamentally different than the way a business operates.
So in a business, when I serve my customer, that customer rewards me with the payment for the service, and that enables me to provide more of the service. And if I don't do a good job, they can punish me by taking their dollars elsewhere.
The literal purpose and structure of a business is to serve the customer. But that's not really true for a nonprofit. It's not the way it's set up. A nonprofit doesn't have built-in incentives to serve effectively. Of course, many of them do anyway. Many people who work at nonprofits would walk over hot coals if it meant aiding others, and they wouldn't stop to ask about funding first. But not all nonprofits are like that.
The reality of it is, if you have a good fundraising and marketing department, you can do absolutely nothing of value for long periods of time and survive, even grow, as a nonprofit. Because the payer for the service is the donor, and the donor often has very little idea what's actually going on in the ministry.
So the incentive is to serve the donor, not the people you're actually supposed to be serving.
And so you can do a really horrible job serving poor people as long as you can tell a good story to your donors. And you might even do what the donors want you to do. So the donors might say that people in Tibet need hula hoops. And off you're going to go, and you're going to start a hula hoop ministry to people in Tibet because the donor likes hula hoops, and they'll pay for the hula hoops, and the people in Tibet are going to get hula hoops whether they want them or not.
So maybe nonprofits should borrow a thing or two from the business world. Fickert says nonprofits should have good business mentors and policies that encourage service, not fundraising.
That having been said, this can also go haywire.
Some nonprofits swing to the other end of the spectrum.
In its efforts to be business-like and in its efforts to pursue business kinds of models, they've essentially become businesses. And that has impacts on how they function. They become very minimalist. They become very streamlined, not very holistic. They tend to serve the upper poor and not the lower poor because you can get more interest revenues from the upper poor.
At the end of the day, ministry structure is like almost everything else in the world. It's all about balance.
We've got to borrow things from the business world, borrow some of the concepts from the business world, bring those in, and then balance those things out with the fact that it's a ministry.
Neither approach is wrong, but both are prone to pitfalls. A less structured business model, like the Overflow Cafes, might end up having less accountability. But a more business-like approach runs the risk of becoming impersonal, of prioritizing the bottom line over people, or pursuing dollar signs instead of Christ's call. And if you listen to season one, you'll remember challenging, personal, spiritual, the three overarching ideas that make or break a ministry. A hard-headed, bottom-line mentality can be at odds with a more warm-hearted approach. It can get in the way of being personal, building relationships with people, and having tailor-made strategies for each individual.
So whichever approach a ministry takes, watch out for the weaknesses, as well as the strengths unique to that structure. Like we said before, structure matters. It affects the kind of work you do and the people you're trying to help.
Founders are the ones who set the structure originally. But sometimes that initial structure isn't built for long-term growth. Founders are, by definition, great at starting things. But they're sometimes less great at keeping things going. And sometimes that means making hard choices.
Edward Bailey took over from the founder of No Longer Bound 23 years after it started. He'd gone through the program, which is a story in and of itself, and then started working with the ministry. One day, he walked into the founder's office and said,
"I think God wants me to take over after you." He didn't fall out of his chair, to his credit. I mean, I can't imagine being him and sitting across from like a 33-year-old graduate of your own program and taking his brainchild into the future.
For a founder who's poured his heart and soul into a ministry for two decades, it's hard to let go.
You think about like any athlete, or like people just don't know how to stop or quit. And even if they want to, I mean, it's just like you just don't, like we don't know how to do that well.
But after a series of long conversations and a season of building trust, the man who started No Longer Bound handed the reins over to Bailey.
I think what will forever be to his credit is him allowing it to happen. I think at the end of the day, he could understand, because it was definitely this, it was this point in the organization's history to where if he wouldn't have let succession happen, I don't think No Longer Bound would still be here.
Bailey talks about a different ministry he's watched struggle with this.
And that organization is dwindling down to next to nothing now. And because those founders just, they've had multiple leaders in the organization begging to take it to the next generation, like begging and begging. And their founders, it's the same, they started the same time that No Longer Bound started, and for whatever reason, that couple just couldn't let it happen. And they've just, it's fallen apart.
When he stepped into leadership, Bailey didn't just focus on getting competitive salaries for his employees. He also changed the bones of the ministry. He says it had no org chart, organizational chart.
For years, the ministry's founder had been the one running everything, with everyone reporting directly to him. Bailey says that's exhausting for the leader, and it's not effective at getting things done.
And so what that ends up looking like is, the leader then has a lack of accountability, and so you can just kind of be, at that point, it's run like a personal business.
Organizational structure also affects policies, because sometimes the leader at the top needs a reality check.
I spend a lot of time outside fundraising and et cetera, so I'll get a lot of great ideas. But if I have the ability to come in and just bring all those ideas and they're all a reality today, then your team's like, what? We were just working on the thing that you said yesterday.
Sometimes the problem is not that the ministry needs a new strategy. It's that the founder is just too good at everything.
I call it the founder's complex. People who start nonprofits generally have a few things in common. They're the one with the vision for the ministry. They're the one with the grit and perseverance to pull it off. They know the ins and outs of daily operations. They devote their time and energy and resources to the ministry. They do all the things. But they have to be careful not to burn out. Take Brian Fickert, for example.
So let's talk a little bit about founders of ministries. They often have this vision. They're very passionate. Run everything.
Did my staff give you this question?
No. Do you have personal experience with
this? Oh, no. No, I just heard that others may have this problem.
10 years ago, Fickert was teaching at Covenant College, running the Chalmers Center, and had just written a book that became an overnight sensation and made him a coveted speaker across the country. Yeah, we all wish we had that problem. But okay, it is a lot for any person to handle.
And I was trying to do all this stuff, and it just wasn't working. And I didn't realize how much the staff were struggling with some of it.
Finally, his board stepped in and said, this is not working. They made some organizational changes.
And so what's the story there? The story is brokenness. The story is realizing that you're not as great as you thought you were and you can't do it all.
This is an especially vital lesson if an organization wants to still be around 10, 15, 30 years down the road. The transition of authority has to happen at some point, but it takes a shift in mindset.
And so you have to transition away from it's my ministry to it's God's ministry. I'm not very good at this, by the way. Very difficult, very difficult. But it's also the best way. It's the best way because it's not really about you.
If an org chart is the ministry's bones, a vision statement is the heart. You have to identify what you can and cannot do. Getting a defined vision was one of the first major things Edward Bailey did at No Longer Bound.
There's all these opportunities for people like, hey, you should take this land and you should do a women's program. Or here, I'll give you $100,000 if you'll do this new service or, you know, whatever. So there's all these opportunities, and if you just follow them all, you know, and that felt like really confusing and it felt like a mess on your everyday operations.
Vision affects the way you do ministry. No Longer Bound used its vision statement to focus on the things it can do well. It's a very structured program, 1 year, residential, drug rehabilitation for men, specific criteria for who can enter the program, benchmarks for progress, discipline. We'll get into the details of how the program works in a later episode.
On the other end of the spectrum, there is, again, the Overflow Cafe. It has a very different vision. Dudley Parr and his wife, Anna, run the cafe as a vocational ministry. They work in the cafe, and they talk to people.
Mostly we are here to listen to people until, you know, and build the relationship from where we then can have those conversations.
In the process of living life and serving coffee and sandwiches and finding a homeless man a button-down shirt for a job interview, the Parrs get to know the people they serve, and their faith naturally spills out into conversation. They let people ask questions, but they don't shy away from saying what they believe to be true.
But mostly it's individual. And, you know, what I might say to you or to you is still going to be different because, I mean, it's always, you know, the evangelism discipleship is very much individualized because of who they are and where they are.
It's kind of like showing God's love to people in bits and pieces throughout ordinary life comings and goings. It's something anyone could do, to varying degrees, without ever starting a nonprofit. Both the Overflow Cafe and No Longer Bound have a specific vision unique to them, and they chose ministry models based on what they hope to accomplish, how they hope to send that vision out into the world.
No Longer Bound couldn't do its ministry with the Parrs' financial model, and the Parrs couldn't do their ministry if they were interested in the Overflow Cafe making a financial profit.
I want to highlight one last thing. If you're looking for some way to get involved in compassion work, you might end up starting a nonprofit with a solid business strategy and a compelling vision focused on helping people. If so, take a few tips from No Longer Bound. But starting a nonprofit is not for everyone. Instead, you're probably more likely to practice compassion in the middle of daily life. If you pick the vocational ministry model, you'll find little opportunities to build relationships and help others all along your daily path. No org chart necessary.
Next time on Effective Compassion, we'll talk about a major source of brokenness and hopelessness.
I was a methamphetamine manufacturer who was making drugs, and then I would drive around and supply them to all the places that were selling them, listening to Christian music. I would get high and read my Bible.
We'll also visit a handful of ministries working to rebuild addicts' lives.
Nobody comes and signs up for a 9-month program unless they're about to die or lose everything.
That's next time on Effective Compassion. I'm Sarah Schweinsberg.
And I'm Anna Johansson Brown. Effective Compassion is produced by the creative team at World Radio. Our producer is Lee Jones. Our technical producer is Paul Butler. And our technical engineer is Rich Rosel.
Additional support for Effective Compassion comes from Samaritan Ministries, a community of Christians who, through prayer, encouragement, and financial support, will care for you when you have a medical need. When the body of Christ comes together to provide for one another, burdens are lifted and God is glorified. This applies to all areas of life, including healthcare. More at SamaritanMinistries.org/worldpodcast.